You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In her latest novel, The Border of Truth, Victoria Riddle has intertwined two stories. One is told through a series of letters to Eleanor Roosevelt from Yitzhak Leidel, a 17-year-old Jewish refugee aboard a ship being returned to Nazi-occupied Brussels in 1940. It had been denied entry into an American port. And the other concerns his daughter, Sarah Leader, an unmarried writer who's trying to adopt a child. The book is published by Counterpoint, and I'm very pleased it has brought Victoria Riddle, whose previous novel, Loverboy, was adapted into a film by Kevin Bacon, to my show now. And it's Riddle. I'm sorry, am I pronouncing it wrong? I'm so sorry. Either way, I love the book. Why has Yitzhak chosen to write to Eleanor Roosevelt to help get into the country?
He's chosen Eleanor for two reasons. The first is he's seen aboard the ship, it's only 86 of them that are left aboard the Kwanzaa, and he's seen that somebody's tacked up an article about Eleanor Roosevelt. It's not that he's so keyed into her. He's thinking he might really rather be writing Hedy Lamarr or Ginger Rogers, but he figures that the first lady in this situation has a little more clout.
And a lot of people did write to Eleanor.
Absolutely.
And ask for help, and a number of people were helped. I know Carl Gerasi, who's a major figure in the development of birth control chemistry, he went to college because he came here, couldn't get into school. He wrote to Eleanor Roosevelt, and she actually arranged for him to go to Wake Forest, I think it was.
Exactly. She was instrumental. And ultimately, she was instrumental in saving the ship, the Kwanzaa, which was an actual ship.
It was a Portuguese ship that tried to dock a few years after the infamous SS St. Louis.
It had been rerouted. It was a Portuguese ship that normally did its route to Africa. And it was rerouted to just bring passengers to New York and then to Mexico. And most of them debarked in New York, and they kept this 86 aboard and said their visas weren't correct, their permits weren't correct.
Well, they'd already been turned down by Mexico and
exactly.
Nicaragua. But she exerted her influence and actually did that over the head of Breckinridge Long, who now many people feel was perhaps anti-Semitic in keeping Jewish refugees out. Do we have any idea why she helped these people?
I think that she was moved. You know, I think she was contacted by many people. There was a lawyer who kept the ship in port. Rabbi Stephen Wise, I think, had her ear. And my sense is that she knew that Breckinridge Long and Cordell Hull were not so good fellows.
Wasn't your father a passenger on the ship?
My father was.
How much of Yitzhak is based on your father?
That's a good question. In my father was 17 years old when he was aboard the ship. Unlike Yitzhak, he was aboard with both of his parents.
And he didn't write letters.
And he didn't write letters. And while my father is a very clever guy, I don't think he was quite as much a jokester as Yitzhak, nor was he quite as in love with movie stars as Yitzhak. But like Yitzhak, my father had a father who was a glove maker. So, and my father left from Brussels. So the path of Yitzhak is the same.
Well, Yitzhak, who becomes Richard later, mm-hmm. He really remains totally silent about his experiences. Was your father, as I understand it, your father actually helped you research the novel?
My father was a main research. Lunch with my dad was main research. As a kid growing up, I didn't know a whole lot about it. I didn't know that the Kwanzaa had been turned away. I knew that my father had gotten on a ship and that it had taken some luck and some cunning to get him on the ship with his family. But I didn't really know the story, and it began to emerge as I was older. And I think that's not an uncommon circumstance for a lot of first-generation children of any number of war situations, that their parents are silent.
And Sarah, in the book, has been complicit in keeping her parents' secrets by not questioning them.
Right.
This is something that happens a lot based on my experiences, in fact, talking with people on this show. First-generation children of refugees, especially when the Holocaust was involved, often define their own lives on the basis of their parents, and if their parents want to remain silent, they just go along with it.
I think first-generation children tend to be protective of a sense that their parents have survived something. And where you carry the mythology of whatever the old country was, you may not know the whole story. So a lot of this novel is about what part of the story you know, what part you don't, how much you need to know.
Well, in the case of Sarah, would things have been different if her mother hadn't died so long ago?
That's part of her bond with her father. Her father, in a moment with the mother while the mother's ill, says, she says, you have to tell her when she asks you what's your history. And he says, isn't this story, the story of the mother's death, enough that we're going to have to live through? And when Sarah sees that and realizes she just has her father, they become a little duo. And she doesn't want to break away from him. She wants to take care of him. She wants his care. And that lasts into adulthood for her.
My guest is Victoria Riddell, her latest novel, The Border of Truth. Now, when the story begins, at the start of the novel, Sarah is 41, single, a writer, trying to adopt a child. She's had most of her relationships have been with married lovers. And she's working on a translation of the work of Walter Benjamin, the famous thinker who committed suicide when he thought that he wouldn't be able to escape the Nazis by crossing the border into Spain. What is it about Benjamin that made you want to include him in the story? Other than that he was a great mind and largely forgotten these days.
There are a couple things. One is when I began to understand my father's story and I realized he had crossed at the border in Perpignan, I was a college student and sort of first exposed to the work of Walter Benjamin and began to understand, wow, my father crossed there and this man wound up killing himself on that border. So the question of who manages, who survives, became alive to me as a young person as I was first exposed to his thinking, Walter Benjamin's. And that there are parallel stories in some way became of interest to me. And also, Walter Benjamin was really frantically asking people for help. And people were trying to help him, but it was not in enough time.
Well, the next day, the border was opened, and he would have been able to cross, but it was too late.
Exactly. That whole question of the borders and how much they fluctuate is something that I don't think most people really know about. Walter Benjamin, he crossed the border. They said, you can't. You know, you're going to have to be sent back to France, and he killed himself, and then it dropped. When my father crossed the border and when my character Itzhak crosses the border, he crosses just as the border is closing and reopening Vichy, and he gets through on that last bus.
Now, in the story you have here, she is not inspired, Sarah's not inspired to ask her father what happened because of Walter Benjamin. She has another reason. She wants to adopt a child.
Right. That, for me, the question of what's your story, and when she's asked it by the adoption agency that you're going to have a story that you're going to give a child, the question of what are stories and what is your family story becomes alive for her in a frightening way, but also in a way that she begins to feel responsible to, you know, and she becomes a reluctant investigator of her father's past, but also the adopted child's story, you know, who is coming from its own country of war, and the question of what are stories that are never known.
But her father is not willing to tell her anything. She has a chance encounter with a woman who knows more about her own family history than she does.
Exactly.
And this is something I'm sure that also happens a lot with Holocaust children.
Oh, I think that happens all the time. Here's an odd one. The first day I gave a reading from the manuscript, before it was a book, a woman came up to me and said, why is Itzhak from Brussels and why is his father a glove salesman? And I was reluctant to, at that point, even say anything about my personal history. And I hemmed and I hawed. And she said, well, and I finally relented and said, it's my father's path. And she said, oh, it turned out she was a relative of mine who I had never met. And that kind of sense of coincidence came to me as a writer all the way through the book, as it was also happening with Sarah. It was incredible.
Well, part of the problem in doing something like this is that people will start reading everything as autobiographical.
Inside the work?
Yeah, well, they know that your father really was from Belgium and his his father was a glove maker, and he was on the Kwanzaa when he was 17 years old in 1940. Then they start reading Sarah into you, don't they?
Yeah, but that's yes. But the process of having someone be an inspiration for a novel is very different than the novel itself. Sarah, well, the fate Sarah has is entirely different than my own. My father told me as I asked him more and more and more, and he accessed more and more memory. Whereas for Sarah, she's discovering that there's going to be whole vast secrets for her, and also the secret she does encounter is entirely different than my father's path on this.
Now, Itzhak is very, very forthcoming in the letters that he writes to Eleanor Roosevelt. He tells her everything. Ship gossip. He tells her about crushes he's had on girls over the years. He tells her about the movies he loves. But he also tells her about his family's flight from the Nazis. Was your father like that? That open?
No. I mean, that's another thing. Itzhak Lejdel is a character. He certainly is not my dad. And, you know, as my father likes to say, when the boy Itzhak winds up in Paris, he starts a letter to Eleanor Roosevelt by saying, "In Paris, I dressed as a woman." My father likes to say, "I never dressed as a woman in Paris." But Itzhak does, and Itzhak's captivated by the movies, and he sees himself really as Errol Flynn on an adventure.
How did you come up with the idea of having his chapters told through the letters?
To be honest, I'd really started it another way. He was just speaking in first person. And then one day I was wandering around, walking around, and I had the thought, "Dear Eleanor Roosevelt, do you like stories?" And when I thought that, I thought, that's exactly the tone I want.
And also, you could allow him to be very open when he's 17. Now he's totally closed off.
Exactly.
He would not tell these. You'd have to pull all of these things out of him, and his memory would have distorted things anyway.
Exactly. And his pleasure with what he wants to tell, with the adventure of it, with the love of movie stars, with talking about, you know, he divulges everything. He divulges the loss of his virginity en route to Eleanor Roosevelt. And he can apologize for it, but he also gets to brag a bit.
What were your feelings about the film version of Loverboy?
Oh, it was exciting. You know, I think when a book becomes a film, it becomes another art form. And I think they did a wonderful job making Loverboy.
Well, all sorts of things have to be left out because you can never get everything that's in a novel into a movie anyway. And I'm sure that having spoken to writers who have had the opportunity to write the screenplay for their own books, the biggest problem is what gets left out.
Right.
A couple told me that they wrote movies that would have gone on for 6 hours because they didn't want to sacrifice anything that they loved from their own novel.
Well, when Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick and the screenwriter Hannah Shakespeare were making the initial forays into it, they met with me, and I was able to say, oh, you know, they'd say, "Who's that character?" And I was able to say, "I think I'd lose that character in the movie," or, "No, you can't lose this, you know, woman. She's really vital." But I think, again, you know, for a writer to have something become a movie, you have to let go. And then I think they kept to the intentions of the novel pretty well, pretty wonderfully.
Victoria Riddell's latest book is The Border of Truth. It is published by Counterpoint, and I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.